Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Woo-woo! Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend, a fantastic Father's Day. Hope your day is getting off to a fantastic start. Good morning, LZ. How are you?
Good morning, Travis. I am fantastic, relatively speaking. Fantastic,
yes.
Because I'm happy and I'm healthy and, you know, I have love and, my son called me on Father's Day, which means he still remembers I'm his dad. He's always nice. You never know, Travis. Once they graduate from college, it becomes dicey after that.
You are less essential, I guess, after the tuition bills stop coming due. You're probably less essential, but no less loved, my friend. I'm glad that you got the call from Isaiah. That's great news. Happy Father's Day, a day after, to all you guys out there, to you guys, Jorge and Raj and LZ specifically. Did you guys get to spend your Father's Day with your sons?
All day.
Oh, yeah. Father's Day, son, daughter, and I got to spend it. I told you, watching Chelsea return to the pitch, and
yeah,
it was kind of weird. I mean, it was no fans, as I mentioned, but Chelsea got the win. But Travis, I was telling you guys and LZ, the crowd noise that they used, it wasn't just generic crowd noise piped in. They reacted to a yellow card with some, and louder cheers on a goal or a good play, and so you almost forgot there were no fans. So I don't know if the other leagues are going to do it like that, but. EPL, well, English Premier League, did a great job piping in crowd noise.
The oddest component of watching sports with no fans is the audio, by far. It's not the look of it. You get used to it pretty quickly. It's the sound of it. So if they've got that figured out, that's good news. I know that other leagues have talked about having to do that as well. No fans does not mean that there's no stupidity. No fans does not mean that there's no hate. Because NASCAR has a problem. Somebody hung a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega Speedway in Alabama yesterday. There was supposed to be a race. The race was not run because of weather. But Bubba Wallace found a noose in his garage. And this was the question, right? This is what will NASCAR do now? What will the sport do? Because the outside of the track, tons of fans with Confederate flags. There's an airplane over the top of the track with a defund NASCAR banner trailing the Confederate flag and a damn noose in Bubba Wallace's locker.
Well, listen, I know that people have been calling this a despicable act. I know some people have described it as hurtful. Some people describe it as stupid. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a hate crime. All right. It is a hate crime by the definition of a hate crime. You go and you look up what falls under the purview of a hate crime, and what happened to Bubba Wallace is exactly that. We've already begun trying to find euphemisms. We've already begun to try to find, ways to soften this blow. We do not need to fall into this stupid-ass habit of taking something that's blatantly illegal and try to soften the blow by calling it stupid. It's beyond stupid. It's a crime. NASCAR, what you need to be doing is asking the authorities to come in and investigate. Don't say we're going to do this internally. Don't say that we need to investigate. No, it needs to be investigated by the proper authorities. We have men who have been hung from trees. We're being told that they're all suicides. We're being told they're suicides. All right. They're quickly being dismissed as suicides. No investigation into foul play. Quickly, bam, suicide, boom. No note or anything, by the way. And now we have a noose in the sole black driver's garage, the one that called for an end of the Confederate flag. And what happened? The racetrack was surrounded by people in pickup trucks and flags waving. And they flew over within an airplane. And then there's a noose in his garage. NASCAR, I beg of you, you cannot investigate this internally and treat it like it's a possible, crime.
Mm-hmm.
Fight the fuel or something like that. That's not what this is. No, this is a hate crime, and it needs to be treated with that level of seriousness. And I'm a lot of bit upset by the lack of outrage from the fellow drivers? This is exactly what I feared for him, was that when the heat came, NASCAR wasn't going to be ready to help him handle it, and that brother was going to be out there exposed. That's exactly what I was afraid of. Now the heat's starting to come, and NASCAR is saying they want to investigate. No, NASCAR, let me tell you how to protect this brother when the heat comes. You go and you say, we're going to go and petition the Department of Justice, because whoever did this, or whoever, how many people participated in doing this, if there was a lookout person while it was being dropped off, whatever it is, it needs to be properly investigated for what it is, especially given the climate, Travis, where we are right now, where we have black bodies swinging from trees again. People trying to tell us they're all suicides, and now there's a noose in the brother's garage.
The statement that NASCAR issued after the news broke was, late this afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team. We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We've launched an immediate investigation and will do everything we can to identify the person or persons responsible and eliminate them from the sport. As we have stated unequivocally, there is no place for racism in NASCAR, and this only strengthens our resolve to make the sport open and welcoming to all. Fine. Like, Ilzy, I agree with you that this is a crime that needs to be investigated by people who investigate crimes for a living. NASCAR does not do that. NASCAR runs car races. NASCAR puts on races every couple of weeks, and that's what they do. They're not equipped to investigate something like this. Your point about the other drivers is interesting, because some of them have come out in support of Bubba Wallace, both in this moment and in previous moments, but it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about a driver losing his ride and a driver losing his sponsors because he used the N-word during a video game competition. It wasn't a single week that went by from where they banned the Confederate flag to where the only black driver on the circuit found a noose in his garage. It wasn't a week that goes by when the very first race that comes by, there is a Confederate flag being flown over the track by an airplane with the banner Defund NASCAR behind it, where the outside of the track is covered in Confederate flags. This is why, and I'll say, I'm going to use your line from a couple of weeks ago, and I don't mean it to be funny, but just as a statement, that this is what it's like when you're in the business of racism, when your sport is identified, and NASCAR took a bold step to eliminate that flag. NASCAR, you know, hopefully will continue to do the right things moving forward. But when your sport is so closely identified with this sort of behavior and this sort of thinking and these fans, where these pieces of imagery are so important to them, something like the Confederate flag, this was inevitable. This was going to happen in your sport because this is your sport. Not the turning left and going 200 miles an hour in traffic. That's a part of your sport. But the culture of your sport for you, and I know that you're trying desperately to get away from it by doing things like banning the Confederate flag, by supporting Bubba Wallace publicly. But this is what you have to deal with. This is what is going to take some time to get rid of, to root out, to identify the people that need to go, because this is not surprising. When I was looking at my phone last night, on my laptop last night, and I saw the story broke, my reaction wasn't, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Bubba Wallace found a noose in his garage, or Bubba Wallace's team found a noose in the garage. It was, yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right from what's going on in NASCAR. And that's the problem that they have, because people that are not NASCAR fans that have an image of it, you just cemented the image we have of your sport. You just cemented exactly what we thought you guys were about. That you had a driver use the N-word on a video game a month ago. You hung a damn noose in your only black driver's garage a week after he puts on an I Can't Breathe t-shirt and paints his car a certain way and asks for this Confederate flag to be removed. The week later, you put a noose in his garage? Really? Yeah, that's exactly what I expected your sport to do. You can issue statements. You can say, we're not going to support the flag. We're not going to let you bring it in. That's fine. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because I'm not surprised. I'm outraged. And I mean, it's shocking just the imagery of it. If you close your eyes and think about it, the fear associated with something like that. But that NASCAR had a noose in one of the only black driver's garage. Is anybody shocked by this? I don't think so.
the reason why, Travis, I'm irritated by NASCAR's statement. For what you're talking about, that one sentence, there's no racism in NASCAR. Yes, there is. There is racism in NASCAR. The statement should be, we're no longer tolerating racism in NASCAR. You can't put out a pretty statement and then come out and say there's no racism in NASCAR because you said you banned the Confederate flag. You can't do that. That's not the way this works. That's like saying there's no racism in America because Obama's been elected. That's not what this is. So when I saw the statement, I got irritated because I don't think they know what's coming. What just happened? That's not the end of this. They're not ready for me. Because when you release a statement saying there's no racism in NASCAR, what you're trying to do is wish for shit. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to curse, but it's just I'm at this level of anger right now. This is wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. There's no racism in NASCAR. That's wishful thinking. I need you to be rooted in reality. The reality is that there is racism in your sport. There's not only present, it was monetized. It was seduced. It was welcomed. It was part of the business plan. It's how you built the success, targeting a particular group of people with imagery and a level of acceptance and comfort. You did this, NASCAR. So you don't get to say there's no racism in NASCAR because you released a pretty worded statement. You don't get to do that. What you get to do is fix the problem. That's what you get to do. You get to sit here and you get to say, all right, we've welcomed a lot of racism. We've turned our eyes to a lot of racism. We need to call it out and let those people know they're not welcomed. When you say there's no racism in NASCAR, it makes it seem like someone's trying to infiltrate and introduce it into the sport. Yeah. That's not what's happening here, Travis. What's happening here is you built the sport on racism, yes, and now you're trying to clean it up.
Yeah, their problem isn't to keep it out, it's to get rid of it. It's the exact opposite. You need to find out where it is in your structure and remove it, because that came from the inside. We will hear from a couple of people that cover NASCAR. We'll hear from Ryan McGee, who had some thoughts on it. We'll hear from Marty Smith, who had thoughts on it as well, because there are not a ton of people, like you just said, LZ, that had access to these garages. We'll continue the conversation next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. I was talking about what happened at Talladega Speedway yesterday in Alabama. There was supposed to be a NASCAR event. The race was not run. The weather was bad, so they weren't able to run the race. But there's still the biggest story out of the sports world. It comes from NASCAR because somebody hung a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. According to the report, LZ, that I'm reading, that Bubba Wallace himself never saw it, that a member of his team was the first person to see it and had it removed. You know, it's just what you said a minute ago really struck me, because you go back to, let's say, a month or so ago when Kyle Larson, who was a NASCAR driver participating in a video game event, thought his microphone was muted or thought or forgot that he was, you know, playing a video game in front of the entire world, used the N-word. And the response to that from the guys on the video game race itself was somewhere between, you know, your mic is hot, to, hey, man, what are you doing? But not maybe the amount of outrage that you would expect. And not, we'll see what the reaction from some other drivers are coming through this, the reaction from other members of the NASCAR community, the drivers, the team owners, the guys that run these teams, the crew chiefs and whatnot. They've got a problem because for decades, your sport has been looked at as the place where all this stuff was okay. The good old boys, right? Down south, the good old boys doing what you do. When you made the statement a couple of weeks ago, we're going to take this flag, we're not going to allow it to be here anymore, we support Bubba Wallace, Black Lives Matter, all of the statements that you made, that was nice, that was good, it was a nice step, but here we are a week or so later, right back where we started, and I'm not hearing people kick. I'm not hearing drivers lining up saying, "No, give me the microphone because I want to tell all of my fans that if you're down with this stuff, get the hell out of here. I don't want you. I want my sponsors to say I don't want these people." Where is that from inside? I know that they're nicely worded statements, like you said, nice events where you're saying we're not going to do this, but where is the action and the outrage?
Well, the game broadcast just kind of told me what I needed to know. And this is what I said, you know, when we initially talked about it, was that there was a level of familiarity to both the situation in which he uttered the word and them handling him saying it live on air. I know that everyone handles adversity differently, especially in real time. Everyone doesn't have the same temperament. I understand that. But I couldn't help but feel as if that wasn't a word that was foreign to them in their circles. I couldn't help but feel like they didn't come out of nowhere and said some stuff. Like when I watched it, it just felt as if they were more upset that he would say that word in a public venue than them being present while the word was being said. That was my interpretation of their response. And, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and pretend as if I've never uttered the word myself, nor am I going to pretend as if I haven't been in situations in which the word has been said around me. Which is why when a black person says it, I am not outraged because I've been indoctrinated. Similarly, if you're a white person and you hear the word and you don't have a certain degree of shock or response to it, I'm going to assume you're not unfamiliar with the word being said around you either. Now, obviously, the situation that I'm speaking of in which I've been, you know, present to hear that word is a lot different, I'm assuming, than when a white person hears that word and they go, oh, yeah, I've heard that word. Mm-hmm. I've heard people like that say that word. When that comes out during the video game, and now you have the noose not being hung by a fan, mind you, because there weren't any that certainly had access, and there certainly weren't large numbers of people that could have snuck in. This is internal. People want to say it's an inside job. I don't think it's an inside job. I think this is the inside. You know, again, yeah. It sound like Travis, somebody snuck in and got some somebody operating on the inside. No. I think this was inside.
With that in mind, I want to listen to Ryan McGee here. Ryan McGee, of course, covers NASCAR for ESPN, and he says what you're alluding to, and that is there's only a very small handful of people that could have had access to do something like this. Here's Ryan McGee.
Not only are they limited to the number of people who can be in the garage, 16 people per team, they're limited to where those people can walk and where they can work. There's literal red tape on the ground that says you can go here and you can't. The drivers aren't allowed to go to their car until the last possible second. And so the only people who are there, it's about 900 people.
So you're talking about trying to figure out who did this relatively in a small group. I mean, 900 people sounds like a lot. Yes. It really isn't. If you are a professional investigator, if you're an FBI or a detective worth your stripes, 900, if I only got to look at 900 people, okay, cool. I'm going to get this one done pretty quickly. And this is where NASCAR has a problem because no one's saying, okay, I this guy over here or these guys over here, I saw them in my garage or I saw them near my garage at this time. I was out of the garage before then. There was nothing in there. I went back in there and I found this. These are the 2-3 teams that were near me. Let's go. Let's figure this thing out because it can't be that hard. And this is where NASCAR could actually do something other than issue a pretty statement and be on the right side, at least when it comes to saying things, but actually doing things. Figure it out. Figure out which team did this. Figure out which person on this team did this. Figure out if the person on that team had support from people on his team. Was this an individual who did this? Was this sanctioned by the team? Was ownership aware of this? Really go to work on this and figure out what happened, because this is not a hard one to crack. If you ran this race at Talladega and you had 100,000 people at the track and somebody threw something onto the track and maybe it's like, okay, we got a giant group of people to figure this out. This is going to take some time. That doesn't sound like what this is. 900 people? Figure this out. Get rid of them.
Right.
Have punishments and let's go, because this does not seem to me to be the greatest crime of all time that's unsolvable. This is not the Lindbergh baby where we're never going to figure it out. This is some idiot inside job in the track who said, oh, I'll show Bubba Wallace and his people what we really think about this in our sport. I'll go do this. That person should be identified pretty quickly, I would imagine.
I would imagine. And I have a hard time believing this person did it solo. because they need to make sure they didn't get walked in on. So that must have been a lookout person. And that means there were conversations being had about how to respond, how to teach him a lesson. I'm going to teach this N-word a lesson. I'm going to let him know that, you know, you're not coming in here changing our sport. And, you know, it just kind of goes back to just this whole comfort that people have had with being outwardly and aggressively racist over the last 4 years. You know, it really coincides with that. 4 years, we've been watching the steady incline. And if really, if you go back to 2007, you began to see some outwardly expression of racism again that was despicable. And we certainly have seen through investigations by the Department of Justice, a number of city officials, law enforcement officials having to be dismissed or reprimanded for having email exchange on city emails or statewide emails with racial slurs attached to them in reference to the president of the United States, Barack Obama. We've seen all of this, right? So I'm not, you know, breaking any news here. We've seen this slow, steady build. And now here we are to this degree in which there isn't an open pushback as much as an open expression. And people are comfortable with their racism, which is fine. I'm not here to police thought. But when you go so far as to commit a crime, which this is, something needs to be done. And not something being handled by the sport. They need to have authorities handle the investigation so that people know you're serious. So that people know that that's not just going to be you're kicked off the team, you're kicked out the sport. No, you committed a crime. You're going to jail.
Yeah.
That's what that bill is for. That's what that law is for.
1 week after they got rid of the flag, 1 week after they issued their statements, 1 week after Bubba Wallace painted his car, we've got a noose in the garage. That's what NASCAR is dealing with. That's the culture of that sport. That's why when they made the decision they made, our eyebrows went up and said, oh, okay. All right, cool. Nice first step, but we'll see what happens next. And this is what happens next. And now it's up to them to figure out what they're going to do next. They did. There was something I saw on the Crawl LZ that said that NASCAR says they're going to work with local law enforcement. Okay, great. You might want to have them do it. That's what they do. You guys run stock car races. That your investigations are not your cup of tea. Let the guys that do that go do that. Baseball is still baseball. Cross your fingers. Maybe we got something coming. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
I got a question that I'm not quite used to getting a few times yesterday, LZ. It kind of caught me by surprise. I should have been ready, but I wasn't. And that question was, I don't know, what would you like to do? You get to decide today. It's like, wait, what? I get to decide where we're going to go to lunch? I get to decide if we're going to spend the afternoon? Wow, yeah, let's figure this out. It was kind of nice for a change. You got to make a few decisions as far as the menu was concerned or the activities were concerned on a Sunday afternoon. It was pretty nice.
What did you decide?
Well, we went to the beach yesterday afternoon, which was kind of nice. We went to one of my favorite Mexican restaurants here in town and had some lunch. It was fantastic. Had a great afternoon, great evening. It was fantastic. Susan was working, so she was busy, but all three kids and I, we got to spend a little time together. It was pretty nice.
No, I didn't decide.
Whoa.
Who was that? So Texan talking about I decided to join. No, I didn't decide to join. I decided to wake up is what I decided to do.
Oh, I'm glad you decided to wake up.
Well, I do too, but I have a little kid at home. You don't. So move on. What were you saying?
I don't know what I have at home.
Good morning, Key. How are you?
What's happening? Oh, I'm good, man.
Good morning, Key.
Oh, was the baby going last night? Good. Did the baby keep you up?
Last night or this morning or when?
I mean, all of the above.
Jeez. Yeah, yeah.
Happy Father's Day, man.
You know, when they're small like that, it's a sacrifice. But some of us are willing
you
to take
did it. You did it.
I'm cool. I'm straight. I'm gonna get my Z's. I'm not tripping. I'm gonna get them the rest of the week. You don't have to worry.
You sound wide awake right now. I'm pretty.
Oh no, I'm good. What I didn't do, Travis, is I didn't jump up to Raj's text. I took my time to make sure that I was gonna be up when I got on the air. You know, some people they gonna just jump up and run and not ever have everything together. I made sure that I did what I would normally do.
Did you brush your teeth?
Which I would take care of my hygiene. I would get something to drink, and then I would proceed to go down to the office and turn on the Comrex and wait for Jorge to respond and warm up, and then we're rolling now. So that's
good.
You know,
hey, that's man. Good. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you got a little sleep, and I'm glad that you got
some of us that work here just take off to take off. You know, we ain't gonna mention no names.
Sure. We were talking, Key, obviously, couple of segments of the show about Bubba Wallace and what happened yesterday at Talladega with him finding, cowards. Or I should say his team finding a noose in his garage.
Cowards. At the end of the day, you knew somebody was going to say something, somebody was going to do something outlandish, outrageous. But I bet you one thing, they ain't going to put their hands on him. They're not going to run up on him. You know, they're going to leave a subliminal little message. Like, you're a real coward. Like, you feel good. You with your buddies drinking a beer and laughing. Y'all think that's real cute. You know, that's what that is. You got your satisfaction by doing that. That makes you feel real good, huh? You're going to put a noose in the garage of a black man that asked NASCAR to get rid of the Confederate flag, and they obliged by doing it. So now you mad at him. And you gonna have a little. You feel real good, huh? Like you really doing something for your crew.
You know what's one of the aspects, and there are many, but one of the aspects that's so upsetting about this is that you know it wasn't just a guy. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
You got a little crew that did it.
You got your little crew. Y'all laughing. Y'all drinking. Y'all beer. Well, we got him, didn't we? You got all that going, and you feel real good. But you're not gonna run up on him. You're not gonna put hands on him. You're not gonna you sitting in that. You're not gonna do nothing to him. What you gonna do? You're not gonna do nothing to him.
What's NASCAR gonna do?
NASCAR is gonna investigate it. They're gonna investigate it thoroughly, and they're not gonna find out who did it. And then the story will go away. But whoever they'll put it on notice. And the next time something like this comes up, they'll find out who that person is the second time around, and that person will get whatever severe punishment that they'll be. But then I don't think that they're going to find who did this one. I don't think they're going to find that. No.
Well, they're going to need to, because what they need to have happen is it be properly investigated as a hate crime. According to the FBI, a hate crime is a traditional offense like murder, arson, or vandalism, with an added element of bias. For the purpose of collecting statistics, the FBI has defined a hate crime as a criminal offense against a person or property motivated in whole or in part by an offender's bias against a race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, ethnicity, gender, or gender identity. This is a hate crime. This isn't something for NASCAR to handle internally and then just dismiss someone. No, this isn't simply just for local authorities. This is a hate crime. The Department of Justice needs to be involved. The FBI needs to investigate. Yes, Key, this person must be found because they committed a federal crime.
No, I understand. I understand that they should be found, but my whole point is I don't think NASCAR is going to find them, though.
Just because they're incapable or because they don't want to?
No, guys, we don't want NASCAR to find them. This isn't NASCAR finding them. This is the local authorities. It wasn't the NFL's responsibility to find, who commits a crime. No, what the NFL does, it goes and it does its own separate investigation. But in terms of its impact on the criminal justice system, the NFL doesn't go and investigate someone who's accused of hitting a woman. The police does that. And then the NFL has its punishment after the police is done investigating. That's how NASCAR needs to handle this. A crime has been committed. Now, NASCAR can come and do its own separate investigation once this initial local enforcement investigation is complete. But this notion that NASCAR is going to handle it is BS. This is a crime. It is a hate crime by pure definition. It needs to be properly investigated by the authorities. And then once the authorities handle it, then NASCAR can decide how it wants to move forward. That's the order of this thing.
Well, whether it's the FBI or the local police or whoever ultimately does the investigation, whoever they identify, that's just the beginning, right? Then you got to figure out who else was aware of it, who else was okay with it. And maybe not in the sense of, oh, I know you're going to go do that right now, and I'm giving you a thumbs up like, okay, hey, I'm on board with you. But what exactly, and this is where NASCAR comes in, what exactly is the culture of that team? What exactly are we doing over there in that garage where something like that would have been tolerated? That's where I think they're going to have to, because I keep coming back to this. This is their sport. When they banned the flag, when they decided that they were going to no longer allow their fans to bring the Confederate flag into the track, when they decided that they were going to take Bubba Wallace's side in this, if you know we're talking about right and wrong, having a side, that this is what was coming. The NASCAR fans, or at least a faction of them, were going to do this. And now it's up to NASCAR. And I agree with you, Ozzy. Never mind the criminal investigation. Whoever is responsible for doing that needs to be investigated as a criminal, because that's what they are. But what does NASCAR do to figure out why is this team, or why is that culture? What do we do in our sport? Because whoever did do that, they're not the only ones. This is NASCAR we're talking about. This is what they've been identified with for decades. So if you think it's just one guy that found a rope and hung it in Bubba Wallace's garage is the only guy, and, well, we got him and we threw him in jail, and okay, let's go run our races. No. What do you do next? How do you move forward from here?
Well, first of all, you got to think that if it's at a NASCAR track or wherever they store their cars in their garage, there's got to be cameras on the perimeter. There's got to be cameras on the perimeter. You got all that equipment, that expensive stuff inside those garages. You got to have some cameras. So let's start there. Then you, like LZ say, if this is such that it becomes a government issue, which means, you know, the local or regional state patrol, whatever you want to call it, FBI, then they have to investigate it. They're going to start with the cameras. And if they're investigating it, most likely they're going to find whoever it is. They're going to probably wind up finding them if it goes to that level, because they're not going to get involved unless they got something, and they would like to have something to be able to show people, look, see us, we with y'all.
But they cowards,
those are real punks though, man. I you know, it's one of the things I knew who it was.
Was full of cowards and punks. The KKK was full of cowards and punks. They wore masks. They worked at night.
I understand. I understand. I'm just saying on this show right now, they some cowards and some punks. They just really are. Like, real, man, it just too bad I can't say what I want to say, but them some real punks, though. Like, you really, I'm just sitting here thinking, and when I saw it yesterday, I'm like, oh, they really feel they tough. Like, they really think they tough by doing that.
Well, I mean, like you said, if they thought they were tough, they would do something other than just cowardly, like they actually did. Let's come back. Let's talk about baseball and whether or not they're even going to be able to get their act together with an actual vote. They got close to maybe thinking about sort of voting and then said, let's wait on that. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Key, what did you say? Did you say that you thought baseball would have their act together by Tuesday? Is that what you said last week?
I said the beginning of the week, like Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, well, they're going to have to get going because they can't even get together to vote. They were close to scheduling a vote, and then there was coronavirus outbreaks in some of the facilities, so they postponed the vote. Now they are postponing the vote again because Commissioner of Baseball Rob Manfred sent something to Tony Clark saying, let me change the deal again. We will cancel the expanded playoffs. We'll cancel university designated hitter in 2021 if the full season for 2020 isn't played. That they can't even put together something to have the players go vote on. And it just feels like every time we're getting a little bit closer to having an agreement, the deal changes, the agreement changes, the terms change, and you got to go back to square one here again. You still think we're going to have it done by tomorrow or the middle of the week?
End of the week now. Pedro Gomez thought it was on with us last week. He thought it was going to be Friday. I'm like, nah, they're gonna take it through the weekend. But then, like you said, they had the outbreak. You know how it goes when something comes up. Now all of a sudden they got too much time on their hand. They start thinking too much. Revisiting what they thought they should have done from the beginning. And then, you know, it's just too much.
Or they had no intent of doing it in the first place. Or this was just another way to spend another week off, and here we are closer to that 50-game mark that they wanted all along.
Well, the best thing that happened to them was that they had some outbreaks in the facility, because now they can say, oh, well, hold on. They're going to postpone it, so that gives us time, and it buys us time. Now we can get closer to that 50-game mark. But they need to do something.
It's frustrating. It is frustrating. Like, I understand both sides, and I've sided with the players because that's just what I tend to do anyway. But this long-standing difference between these two factions of this sport is really missing out on capitalizing on a golden moment. I know that in terms of the calculus that they do, they determine that, you know, in 2 years, everyone will be back and they won't really care what happened in 2020. And that's very well could be true. But what else isn't going to happen in 2020 is that you won't get a boost in terms of public perception. You don't get a boost in terms of your place in the hierarchy of sports. You could have been the only thing going with exciting young players, exciting young pitchers. Like, the game in terms of personality and energy, you have the Yankees being excellent. You have the Dodgers being excellent. You got best players. You got Cy Young. You have so much that good that could have happened if you were the only game in town playing right now. And I keep going back to the 4th of July, because other than some fireworks and the live stream of Hamilton on Disney Plus, I can't think of anything that would have been better than baseball on the 4th of July weekend. And knowing that that's the only thing that we would have had to look forward to. And you blew it. I'm going to keep saying it. You blew it. You blew being able to ride that wave. And now, for what? Temporary buzz from the money? A message to be sent once you get the CBA rolling? Like, to me, it's so short-sighted, Travis. It's disappointing.
It's short-sighted for sure. It's disappointing for sure. And like you said a second ago, I'm not going to sit here and rail and pretend that I'm not coming back. Whenever they figure this out, I will go back in. It'll be a reluctant return, but it'll be a return. I'll go back in and watch baseball. But I just think that they couldn't make it any more clear than they already have. They just don't really want to play. And I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the owners. They just really don't care if there's a season or not. And I mean that in the most literal way possible. That if the season plays, it's like, yeah, okay, fine. And if the season doesn't play, it's like, yeah, okay, fine. It's just their only goal is to minimize their financial exposure. That's it. That there is not a second where the 30 teams that exist in this league and the men and companies that run them are looking at each other and saying, you know what, we really shouldn't do this. We really shouldn't be the only league here arguing over dollars when everyone else is going back. That we need to get back on there because it's the right thing to do. We need to get back on there because we need baseball right now. All the things that you just said, LZ, that nothing else is happening. We could be first. We might be able to, you know, snag a fan here or there that maybe we lost along the way. That never is part of the calculus. I believe that the players want to play because, A, they want to get paid. And why wouldn't you? And, B, I think they want to play because it's what they do. This is their occupation. This is how they make their living. This is what they've been doing for their entire lives. So I believe that the players want to play under the right terms. I really don't think the owners care at all if a season is played beyond how much is it going to cost me or how can I minimize my financial risk. That's the only part of the care that they have.
Well, that's really all they – really, as an owner, that's all they really should care about, right, is how to make the money.
I disagree, Key.
As an owner, that's all they should care about because that's all they will ever care about is making money. Owners don't care about fans. They care about fans, and they care about fans because it could drive TV revenue, it could sell merchandising, it could put butts in the seats. Other than that, I've tried to explain this to you a thousand times, man. They don't be caring about no fans and what way people feel about their game. If it's making money, that's all they care about. If it's making money and it minimized the risk of them losing money, or else they wouldn't put themselves in this position to be heavily criticized about the way that they're playing with these negotiations. They would just get it done and go play. But that's not the case. If they could get down to that 50-game mark, they still get that 162-game check from the television revenue and the sponsors, hey, we good.
I hear what you're saying, that the dollar is going to drive their decision-making. So their first priority is, how do I maximize my money? I get that. And I'm not even saying that necessarily that's wrong. What I have come to believe that I didn't believe before is I thought that there was at least a small piece of them that cared about baseball, that cared about them having a baseball team and what it means to have a baseball team, what it means to that community. I understand they don't care about me. I get that. I don't care. I understand they don't care about me as a fan that I'm going to come in and buy hot dogs and programs and beers or whatever it is, or tickets or watch it. I know they don't care about me, but I thought that maybe, and not that it was the first priority, even the 100th priority, but that at some point in the evaluation, it was, what is good for the sport? What is good for the long-term health of our business? And it isn't, because this is devastating to the long-term health of their business. This is a bad deal all around. And they just don't give a damn.
It is. Well, they give a damn about something else. And that's their bottom line. And we all know that sports is a business. Pro sports is a business. College sports is a business. We get it. Youth sports, AAU, is all a business. We totally get it. But it's a business that's also built on people caring passionately about your sport. Mm-hmm. So this was an opportunity to get people to increase their level of love for your sport, which in turn you can monetize. But instead, they decided to take a short route by saving on the front end and missing the seeds that could have been planted, could have been very bountiful for them on the back end. You know, I'm sitting here, I was actually just in a text exchange with a producer from CNN. And I said to them, I said, Bubba Wallace is going to mess around and make me watch NASCAR. He's going to mess around and make me watch NASCAR, which I do not do, but it's because of him. And I feel in my heart the same way about baseball. Baseball could have messed around and made someone who was indifferent care just by simply playing, pun intended, and playing first. As this nation is trying to piece itself back together, it could have harbored enough goodwill that no one was going to dump LeBron James to cheer Mike Trout. Not asking for that. But they might have cared about Mike Trout. They might have cared about the Yankees. They might have cared about the Dodgers, because there was nothing else there. And instead of taking advantage of that vacuum, they've actually prolonged the vacuum by not even being able to go out there in the field over money. And I'm like, I get it. It's a business. I get it. But you can't quantify love. You don't know how powerful a thing like love can be when it comes to figuring out how you can tap into it to make money later. Documentaries that could have been made. The return of baseball. There was nothing else going on. I could, the 30 for 30 damn near writes itself.
Instead, well, they've been selling that whole thing about how baseball, you know, rebirth in the spring and it fades in the fall, and that whole, you know, canon of bad baseball literature that's out there about how it follows the seasons and all that. It could have actually been true for a minute. It could have actually been, you know, what? We did bring it back. You could, instead of sending or selling this ridiculous myth you've had for 150 years, you could actually have been the thing that helped the rebirth of sports in this country. And they just absolutely did not care. All right. Where are the other drivers? Where are they on what happened this weekend at Talladega? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.